no deal in Ottawa when it comes to your tax dollars on healthcare. I think most Canadians are saying that we need and want something different for healthcare, especially when it comes to our loved ones, our seniors, that during the pandemic, a whole lot of care homes were exposed for the subpar performance, and a lot of people died in this country that shouldn't have. Two guests join us now to talk about the issues surrounding this and where we go forward. Dr. Samir Sinha is Director of Geriatrics at Mount Sinai and University Health Network Hospitals in Toronto. He's got roots here in Winnipeg. Michelle Porter is with the University of Manitoba. She is a professor there and director of the Center on Aging. Thank you both for joining us this afternoon on 680 CJOB.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
Dr. Sinha, where does this start for you as far as our attitudes, politicians' attitudes on how we treat the aging process and the policies around aging?
You know, I think a lot of this is rooted in societal ageism, the fact that we as a society don't really value older people. We don't see them as a resource. We still use terms like dependency ratio, almost saying that really once you're 65 and older, you know, you're dependent on the rest of society to meet your needs, neglecting the fact that many older people are the biggest source of volunteers in our society, that many people continue working well beyond 65 and have to continue paying taxes like the rest of us. So I think when we don't value older people, then we don't also value the care that they might need to stay healthy and independent, or the people who care for them. And that's often those who are providing care in people's homes or in long-term care homes. And so I think that deep-rooted ageism really kind of makes it difficult, where even in conversations today about healthcare, we didn't really hear much about home care and long-term care, things that are really important to aging well in our society.
Professor Porter, build on that.
Well, I would echo a lot of what Dr. Sinha has said about ageism being the biggest issue. I think until we can really get rid of ageism in society, we're not going to have good policies. And we also need to make sure that older people themselves are not internalizing these ageist messages, because they can become an almost self-fulfilling prophecy. Just finished a session of a program we're doing right now on reimagine aging, and really trying to instill in people that they don't have to believe these messages that we're hearing, some of them that you heard from Dr. Sinha, but also things like, you know, older people are just a burden to society. We really have to get away from this kind of negative and also inaccurate thinking.
Dr. Sinha, as the population continues to age, some of the things that I have seen happen in my own life are outraging. As my grandmother married later in life after my grandfather passed away, you know, her husband went into personal care home before she did, and she lived, you know, 20 minutes drive away. Might as well have been 2 hours, because she didn't drive. And my mom lived here in Winnipeg as an only child. And that was extremely distressing, not only for my grandmother, for my grandfather, but also for my mom. And I think about now, as my own parents are aging, they've been married over 50 years. If they both required personal care, how many personal care homes have a room that can accommodate a couple? Why are we not thinking about letting people continue their lives with support, be it in their home or in a PCH, rather than warehousing them, sometimes in separate buildings? To me, it's so unfair to our parents, to our loved ones.
Yeah, no, and Julie, I think what I start as a clinician, you know, whenever I'm working with my patients, is this philosophy of an approach of asking what's important to you. You know, what matters most to you as you age? And people want to age in their own homes for as long as possible. People want to age with their families and their loved ones, and they want to be close to each other. And when we find that we have a system that doesn't necessarily, you know, honor and accommodate, you know, people's ability to live at home, that often so many Canadians are going without adequate home care that they're almost prematurely institutionalized. And when they're institutionalized, for example, that they have to be separated from loved ones because we don't have accommodations that promote privacy and dignity, or even, as you said, allow couples to stay together. So there are other countries that have really taken a very different approach to aging, a much more positive approach and inclusive approach. So they help people stay in their own homes for as long as possible and stay together. Or if they have to go into a care home, that they can remain together. So these are just some of the things that you're hitting on, is that right now we have policies and processes in place that don't really work well for really anybody. And so why are we perpetuating them? Why aren't we starting to look at how we fundamentally change these approaches?
Michelle Porter, as you look at this through an academic lens, is there a jurisdiction that is getting it right, or at least more right than we are?
Well, I haven't been there and seen it myself, but I think Dr. Sinha has. So in Denmark, they've really invested in providing care in the community rather than in institutional settings for the care that people need over the long term at the end of their life. And so I think we need to move more in that direction. Unfortunately, we haven't really been planning for the aging demographic changes that we knew were coming. We've known that we've needed to do these kinds of things. We can see from other countries in the world, like Japan, that have aged much sooner than us. So we really have a lot of catching up to do in Manitoba in terms of the provision of care that people want. I mean, we've used a term in the academic and practical fields of person-centered care for a very long time, but we're really not putting into place things that are actually achieving that for people, as your example conveyed.
Dr. Sinha, tell us about Denmark and some of the best practices that are out there.
Well, I think, first of all, it's a population that really does respect and value their citizens. People pay high taxes in Denmark, but they also have high expectations of government that, you know, you are going to provide the right support so that our seniors and our older, and they don't call them patients, they don't call them clients, they just call them older citizens, that, you know, that they will be supported as they need to as they age. But it's also a very practical approach that they want to really enable aging in one's home and community for as long as possible, because it's cheaper for everybody, the taxpayer, and it's actually better for people's dignity. So they spend a lot more of their healthcare dollars, a higher proportion than we do in Canada, on providing home and community care and long-term care services. That's the first thing. They spend the majority of those dollars, unlike we do, on providing care in people's homes. And by doing that, they actually save a huge amount of dollars in more expensive settings like hospitals and long-term care homes, because they're providing more care in line with what people want and need. But at the heart of it, it really is that idea of thinking fundamentally as of older people as citizens. And just that humanizing element is amazing, because when we don't call someone a patient or we don't call someone a client, we call them a citizen, you start framing all your approaches a lot differently in terms of treating people like human beings. And having a different framework. And so I think, going back to what Professor Porter was saying, changing the way we look at things can allow us to actually do much, much better approaches to care, like the way they're doing in Denmark.
Pay me now or really pay me later. So Professor Porter, talk about some of the things that we can and should be doing here as far as options for our older citizens. Home share, for example.
Yes, so there are different models out there for how we could be living in different types of places. And so home sharing is a model that's used in different places around the world, in particular in places where there's post-secondary education institutions, where an older person who has a home that has space for someone to live in with them would have a student at either a reduced rent or no rent who would live with them and provide them with some assistance with different types of tasks of living that they might not be able to do, whether it's shoveling snow, taking out the garbage, heavy duty house cleaning, that kind of thing. And then it really provides a great intergenerational opportunity for engagement. Older people, we often think about them being kind of the loneliest generation, and some older people who are living on their own are. But actually, young people, when you look at the surveys, they have much higher rates of loneliness. So it can be a great thing for students, not only financially, but also just providing that contact with someone else that they can have conversations with and learn all those wonderful life experiences that the older person has had.
Lots to think about for now going forward in our own lives and as we go into a provincial election. Thank you both for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Dr. Samir Sinha, Director of Geriatrics at Mount Sinai and the University Health Network in Toronto. Michelle Porter, University of Manitoba Professor and Director of the Center on Aging.